To the passage we read from earlier on in Isaiah chapter 6. This morning and over these next weeks, we're looking at the measure of an elder, and today particularly we're looking at the call to the elder. In 1952, after seeing his country through the Second World War, King George VI passed away. It was announced in the newspapers and on the radio at that time, and the statement was made, "The king is dead. The king is dead." In November 1963, John F. Kennedy was shot dead on a visit to Dallas, and the news broadcasts reported in a very simple manner, "The president is dead." Now here we find 750 years before the Lord Jesus Christ that the announcement was made. We read it here in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6. King Uzziah is dead. In the year that King Uzziah died. That's what we read here. So we find that Isaiah visits the temple, and on his visit there he states the fact that Uzziah is dead. But it is clear from what he tells us that God is not dead. You see, the historical factor of Uzziah's death was not actually as important as the theological factor that Isaiah comes to note. Uzziah had been a remarkable king. He'd been a king from the age of 16, and he ruled for 52 years. He was an expert administrator. He was a tremendous strategist, and under his reign, he saw the expansion of the kingdom in ways that it hadn't expanded before. But towards the end of his kingship, he lost sight of the Lord, and he did that which was detestable in the sight of God. He had done much that was right in his kingship, but when he took on himself the job of the priests and offered up the incense to the Lord, he showed disrespect to the King of Kings. And so he spent the last years of his life as a leper because he did that which he knew was wrong in the eyes of God. Now, when we're looking for those to be elders in our congregation, we're looking for those who, as best as possible, are consistent in their living for the Lord. Those who do not allow an attitude of pride to undo the good of their words to that point. We're looking for those who clearly know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for those who walk close to God in their lives. We all need to be careful of pride and arrogance. That really was the problem in Uzziah's life. He thought to himself that he was the king and that therefore he should have the right to go in and offer up to the Lord whatever he wanted and take the place of the priests in the temple. And his heart was filled with pride. And we need to be cautious that we don't think that we have the corner on truth. We need to be careful that we don't look down upon others simply because they believe something different to us. We need to be gracious and kind, especially to those who don't share our convictions. God goes on to reveal himself and his will to Isaiah here. So what do we want in potential elders? Well, let's consider God's call to Isaiah, and perhaps today you're one, and God is calling you to the position of elder in this place. Perhaps even over these weeks, your heart will be stirred because God is going to begin this process of laying this responsibility upon you to become an elder here. Let's look at what happened with Isaiah in the temple here, and from that, we'll learn an application, hopefully, for our situation. Three things happen. The first one is this: Isaiah sees God. Look with me again at verse 1. We see it just right there. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You see, Uzziah is dead, but the Lord God Almighty lives on. The psalmist reminds us, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Everything else may change in the world around us, but God does not change. Now, here's a sobering thought. There is not a single head of state in all the world today who will be there in 50 years' time, unless they manage to live to a massive old age. You see, the turnover in world leadership is 100%. In a brief 110 years, this planet will be populated by 10 billion brand new people, and all 6 or 7 billion of us alive today will be gone. We will have vanished off the earth just like King Uzziah, but not God. God will still be seated on the throne. He never had a beginning and therefore depends on nothing for his existence. He always has been and always will be alive. Now, what is Isaiah's experience of meeting God that day in the temple? Well, in verse 3, we find God described as the triune God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah's encounter with God is not one where the Lord is seated alongside Isaiah, but rather where the Lord is transcendent. He is above and beyond Isaiah in every way. We read that he is seated on a throne here. This whole experience that Isaiah has is one that fills him with awe in the presence of God. Here we are told that it is not Uzziah that is lifted up here. It's not even Isaiah that is praised in this passage, nor is it the people. But we are told here that it is the Lord God who is high and lifted up. We live in perilous times today when God has very much shrunk in the minds of our neighbors and our friends, and I dare say at times in our lives as well. God has shrunk. Sometimes whenever we read of former generations, we discover that there was more of that sense of the awe in the presence of God, that understanding and knowledge of who God is and of our place in relation to him. But today it strikes me that that has been lost. That today's generation has forgotten who God is. Why is it? Well, surely it's because we have exalted other gods into the place where the true God should be. And so we have diminished our thinking of the true God. Sadly, today there are many who have no thought of God whatsoever. And I can't help wondering if that's because even we as believers have diminished who God is to us. Today, sometimes when I hear people reflecting on God, they do it in these sort of terms. What God means to me is, or what I feel, or what I think about God is, or I like to think of God in these terms. And we make it more about us than we make it about God. Whereas a former generation spent time immersed in God's Word, spent time on their knees before God, and they became absorbed with the greatness and the majesty and the splendor of who God is. And the problem is that the notion of God today has become entirely subjective. It's about what I feel, what I think, rather than knowing the objective truth about who our God really is. You see, the concept of God high and lifted up is virtually absent from the minds of our generation. Now, when we're looking for those who will be elders in this church, we're wanting those who have a high picture of God in their minds. We're wanting those who have come to know God because they've come to know the Scriptures and they're beginning to apply their understanding of God to everything they see in this world around them. So they start with God in their minds and then they apply that truth to the things in their lives and the things of our world. Isaiah sees things rather differently to how we tend to see them today. And our elders need to be those who see things differently to today's generation. You're looking for godly men, those who take their faith seriously, those who look to God for everything. Isaiah meets with the Lord here, and we can imagine him bowing as low as possible as he comes into God's presence. I sort of wondered when I read this, what would Isaiah say to somebody that he met after this meeting with the Lord in the temple? Maybe he would say to them, well, you know, today I met with the Lord. And they would say, well, tell me something about him. And Isaiah would say, well, his robe filled the temple. I don't want to know about what he was wearing. Tell me what God looked like. Tell me what he was like. Well, I don't know. All I know is that his robe filled the temple. Now, why was it that Isaiah saw God in that way? Well, surely it is because as he meets with God, he is bowing his head down. He feels aware of his own sinfulness in the presence of God, and therefore he's not looking up, but he's looking low. And he sees the greatness and the majesty of God even just in the folds of his robe in the temple, fold upon fold upon fold. It's interesting in Exodus 24, when the elders and Moses come into the presence of God, the one thing that they bring back to the people about God is what the pavement looked like and his feet. They came back to the people and they said that the pavement was made of blue sapphire stone. Now, why was this? Well, surely it was because they too had their eyes looking downward. They were humbled in the presence of God. You know, I think it's a mistake whenever we just sort of rattle into the presence of God and roll out of the presence of God and as though it's actually nothing special. I think we make a mistake when we do that. And I think we've got to remind ourselves about who God really is, that we may worship him in the way that we should. You know, there have been lots of problems in the Presbyterian Church over the last number of years. I know about it. I'm on the Judicial Commission, so I've ended up dealing with some of them. Lots of problems where ministers and elders have begun to think a little bit too much about themselves and not enough about God. And what we're looking for is godly elders. So as you look around this congregation to see those who should be our six new elders, you're looking for godly men, people who protect that time that they spend with the Lord, people who have got to know God, people who value meeting with God here at our services on the Lord's Day, morning and evening, midweek meeting, prayer meeting. They're the men that we need. He sees God. But then also, Isaiah sees himself. I love Isaiah's response here, by the way. This comes out of the fact that he has been meeting with God. Look at verse 5 with me. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Isaiah is in a state of despair. You see, brokenness is absolute surrender to God. Brokenness is needed before we can be what God wants us to be. And Isaiah realizes that he is nothing in the presence of a thrice holy God. He understands that he needs to be broken before he is in any way useful in the Lord's service. Today, Christianity tends to be all about happy, friendly, warm, mushy, gushy, sentimental, empty claptrap. But what is pivotal is our vision of who God is. And it is only whenever we recognize the holiness of God that we begin to understand something about ourselves. And we see our sinfulness. And we appreciate our own inadequacies. Now listen, you're not looking for perfect men for elders in this congregation. I know you look at our present Kirk session and you say, well, every one of them is perfect. Nearly, but they're not quite there. And you're not looking for perfect men for the eldership here. Why? Because they don't exist. Any of us who are married, we know that. You see, we're all filthy, hell-deserving sinners. However, you are looking for those in whom you can see a progression. And it all began whenever they realized that they were sinners. It all began whenever they understood that they could do nothing to save themselves. So you're looking for men who are born-again believers, those who have a clear profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. You probably think there's no need for Mark to say that. And I hope in First Ahockle there isn't. But I'm not that long away from doing a mission in a place where I met with a colleague who told me that there's none of his elders who are Christians. That's hard to believe. But it is the case. So we don't choose someone for session because they're quick on their feet, or somebody for session because they're smart, or somebody for session because they're wealthy. No. We choose those who are born again believers. You see, the elders are able to do nothing for the Lord in and of themselves. And I can imagine Isaiah in the temple thinking, if this is power, if this is might, and this is me, what possible use could I be for God in this world? It would be like going for a round of golf with Rory McIlroy. I know he's not in the top of his game at the minute, but he's still pretty good. Could you imagine going for a round of golf with him down there in Galgorm, and as you approach the first tee, isn't that where you start out at? You approach the first tee, and he puts the ball in the wee peg thing, and he lifts the stick in his hand. I do know what the things are called. I'm just saying that to see if you're still awake. He lifts the stick in his hand, and he hits it, and there's this lovely sound, just this clink as it hits. Oh, it's just perfect. And you know he's hit it in the right place. And the ball soars away off into the distance, and you can hardly even see it. And it lands on the green just ahead of the tee, and he's just put the right amount of spin on it, and it just rolls back and down into the hole. And he turns around to you, and your jaw's sort of hitting the ground. And he says, right, big man, your turn. Give it a go. How do you feel? Well, I'm not looking for answers in a post-addressed envelope, but I'm guessing the answer is you'd feel pretty inadequate, wouldn't you? Are you with me? Well, I think that's how Isaiah feels in the temple. Here he is in this presence of an awesome God, an all-powerful God, a holy God. Isaiah says, "Woe, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm nothing in the presence of this God." Isaiah had discovered that life was not without meaning, but that its meaning was to be found in God alone. It was the fact of his uncleanness that undid him. Alistair Begg said, I'll move on to the next one here. I'm running out of time. Alistair Begg spoke here. Isaiah has said here about his lips, he says, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. And where lips are referred to here, it's really talking about how we speak the language of an unclean heart. That's the issue. And Alistair Begg says here, our lips are an expression of our hearts and our wills. And if our hearts do not belong to God, then the lips will betray the fact. So what are you looking for in an elder? Well, you're looking for a man who is able to say the right things. Sometimes he'll say things in maybe a clumsy way or maybe an unhelpful way. But as soon as he does, he tries to put it right. You're looking for someone whose lips are not filled with filthy talk, with disgusting conversation, with coarse language. You're looking for someone who expresses what is on his heart, because in his heart he loves God. And there is a purity of heart because he has spent time with God. And that's what you're looking for. God never uses anybody without first bringing them to an awareness of their own weakness. Matthew Henry says, he says, those are fittest to be employed for God who are low in their own eyes and are made deeply sensible of their own weakness and unworthiness. So you're not looking for anybody for an elder who is promoting themselves for that job. If somebody comes to you with a badge or a pen that says, vote for me, I would suggest that you don't. You with me? Somebody who is called to be an elder is somebody who is aware of their own unworthiness. They're not pushing for the job. They're not angling for the job. But yet God has laid this incredible responsibility upon their lives. He sees himself. And lastly, he sees others. Having looked up and looked within, Isaiah can now see the needs of the nation of Israel. And whoever you call as elders will have the responsibility to be able to ascertain the needs of the congregation of First Ahokel. You want someone who has become aware of the needs of the people who are gathered here this morning, and indeed those who are on our lists who maybe don't darken the door of the church that terribly often. You're wanting men whom God has laid upon their hearts the needs of the people of this area. They're not to be so caught up in themselves that they don't perceive the needs of others in their situations. So we find here Isaiah saying in verse 8, then I heard the Lord God saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Many Christians today see the need, and they say, here am I, send someone else. My brother there, send him. My sister there, send her. No, not me. Send them. Perhaps today God is wanting to send someone here. send you into the eldership, First of Hockle, send you on an outreach team in the summer, Cushion Dun, here in Hockle, further afield. Maybe God has wanted to send you to your husband, your wife, your neighbor, your best friend. And what will you say? God says, who will go for me? Will you today say, here am I, send me? Here's a wee question just as we end. What is 750,000 miles long and reaches right around the earth 30 times and grows 20 miles longer each day? Well, I'll give you the answer. You're tired today and I don't want you racking your brains. But here's the answer. It's the line of people who are without Christ. Isn't that astonishing? Grows 20 miles longer each day. God says, who will go for me? Who will I send? And he wants you. He wants you to go. He wants you to be his hands and his feet. He wants you to be his lips. He wants you to speak for him. He wants you. And if today you're sitting here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, he wants you in his family. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to lavish his love upon you. He wants you to love him. He wants you to be with him for all eternity. Now that's the way God loves us. Will you respond today by saying, here am I? Believer, will you respond today by saying, here am I, send me? And if in 7 or 8 weeks' time, Robert McCord and I come knocking on your door, and we say to you, you have had the vote of the congregation of First of Hockle, will you be ready to say, here am I, send me? E.J. Young said, and with this I finish, having believed with certainty that he was going to be crushed into non-existence by the very holiness of God, and having received an unsought for and unmerited deep cleansing, what else could Isaiah do other than hurl himself into God's service? 100% for God. Are you? Are you living for him? If you come to trust in him, why not today heed his call? Sorry for taking longer today. We're going to finish our service as we sing, How Sweet the Name of Jesus' Son.